Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, manager of Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker based on the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast?
Down the Back of the Seats explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? So we're talking about tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger, and leave things or bits.
I hate it. I hate how you say bits. And that, it makes me feel, ugh. We're going to start, as has become tradition, with a frequently asked question. So these are questions that I get asked an awful lot working at the cinema. Today's question is, I can't see any screenings after Thursday. Are you closed? So we do our programming week to week.
Yes.
Cinema weeks, confusingly, start on a Friday. So everything changes on a Friday. We program on a Monday, which is what I should be doing right now. It's Monday as we record this. And then everything pops up on the website at the end of Monday. But the amount of times people ask me, why can't I see anything on after Thursday? Are you closing down? And I'm like, no, we just do everything. Or I get an awful lot of, I'm going to be in Campbelltown on the 24th of August, 2026. What are you screening? And the answer is, I do not know. So that's why if you can't see any screenings on your local cinema's website after a Thursday, it's probably because they haven't got around to programming yet. Just wait. Monday night, Tuesday morning, they'll all pop up.
That's the contrast between theatre and film as well, in that theatre's programmed months in advance because of the nature of the how it works and how it, you know, has to be prepared and tour schedules and funding cycles and, you know, funding itself. Whereas cinema, it's it's a different economic model, I think.
It is, and it's a more reactive prospect as well. So the reason, I guess the reason that we do it week to week is so that we can gauge how well certain films are doing. So whether you want to hold them, it's called holds that we do on a Monday, whether you want to hold them over or whether you want to try and look for something else to put in. And I do get, I'm very sympathetic to people who want to know what's on in 3 weeks' time because it's their child's birthday or they've got friends coming into town and things. And it is frustrating not to be able to say, right, I've got this on at this time, this on at this time.
Yeah.
But we just can't give that sort of promises in case it all changes, you know, something like, Cocaine Bear, which for Campbelltown audiences, I honestly wasn't expecting that much from it. And then the word of mouth started to go around. People were coming to see it. So it was a grower. It started off fairly low audience numbers and then more and more people started to come. So we actually held that over for 3 or 4 weeks longer than we would have.
That's brilliant.
Than we thought we would. So yeah, it's all about reacting. Did you see it? You haven't seen it, have you?
No, I'm not. I really like the director. I think she's a phenomenal kind of brilliant comic actor. She's and really, really clever. So I have kind of hoped that it'd be decent. But how was it? Was it good?
I didn't. Oh, no, I'm so afraid I've brought up a film that I didn't see either. I've watched as all of the films. I've watched the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes. But it was the breadth of demographic that loved it was the thing that really surprised me. We've got a kind of core audience of older ladies who will come and see.
Who just love their cocaine.
They love their cocaine. They love bears.
Cocaine. Sorry, they're doing a lot of baking. I see the cocaine bear. It's a slippery one.
Yeah, it's difficult. Maybe that's why they're in. But so they'll come and see their book clubs. They'll come and see Harold Fry. They'll come and see, you know the type of film that they'll come and see. And one of them, who's a little bit more adventurous than the others, came to see Cocaine Bear and just went round all the group. And we're like, right, you have to see this film. So we were getting sort of 15, 16-year-old boys loving it. We were getting 70-year-old women loving it. It just seemed to be this universal film that everyone really loved, which was a complete surprise to me.
That's brilliant. Well, this Campbelltown audience are really interesting. That there's things that they love. So what would you say, since your time working there, have been the top three films? I know what number one is, without a shadow of a doubt. But what are the top three films that really draw people in?
I'd be interested to know what you think number one is, because I don't think it is what you think it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think number one might be The Greatest Showman.
No, Greatest Showman is not even in the top five.
What? That's amazing, because you're always getting huge numbers for The Greatest Showman.
Actually, The Greatest Showman was another perfect example of one that started off fairly well and then just grew and grew and grew, and people came back to see it four or five times.
I don't know why. I think it's bloody awful.
Oh, I quite liked it. I didn't mind it.
Rebecca Ferguson's fantastic in it. I mean, she's really good. But looking at the structure of the story, I was like, where's the main character gone for about 20 minutes in the middle of the film? Where is he? What's going on? It was just a bit, meh. Anyway, what if that's not even in your top five, what are the top three to five then?
So the top one that we've had since we reopened in 2017 after refurbishment is similar, Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia 2 it was. Mamma Mia, keep Mamma Mia-ing.
I've not seen the second one.
It's as good as the first one.
What? How can Pierce Brosnan sing so brilliantly in two films?
I bloody loved it.
When you're gone! Oh, God, I love the first one. It was shown here in Mull on the Screen Machine. I think it was Ian was the projectionist at the time. Screen Machine is a lorry that goes around the Highlands and Islands with a cinema in the back of it. And the first one, Mamma Mia, the first, when it came to the credits at the end, he and the projectionist would run down the aisles waving his hands in the air with a sparkly wig on, dancing around. People just loved it. That's really nice to hear. So, that's number one. What's number two?
Number two. Now, I might get these the wrong way around, but number two. Jesus, Alistair. Number two is Peter Rabbit.
Oh, wait. James Corden. Oh, for
I'm
God's
very,
sake.
Very, very sorry. And number three is The Lion King, the new-ish, the remake.
I've not seen that. I saw the old one, but...
It's fine. It's a bit Uncanny Valley. It's just not as good as the animation.
It's amazing. So that's the top. That's your top three.
Yeah, that's
Mamma
my top
Mia
three.
To James Corden's is Peter Rabbit, Pierre Lapin, the French art house movie, and then Lion King live action. That's really interesting. Those are very popular movies, but and a different demographic for each one, I guess. Well, the last two and three are quite similar, but
yeah. So in the first episode, we had that email in from somebody who had found drugs in their cinema. And I mentioned this to a mutual friend of ours who we're going to call with the pet theme, Cosmo. And she says, post-show auditorium cleanup, one of the ushers says they've found this. This being a big bag of weed. Like a large Ziploc freezer bag full of weed. So rather a lot, I take it. She's also, as I did, distancing herself from knowing how much weed is a lot of weed. Seconds later, a very flustered young man appears in the auditorium. Hello, sir. Can I help? I ask. I've lost something, he says. Oh, really? What would that be? Let me see if I can help. Nothing, nothing. All right. Are you sure? Where were you sitting? He runs off and provides for the entire front of house team for the summer.
What a generous soul. What a generous, generous soul.
she doesn't mention which theatre that was in. But I believe it was a theatre. Cosmo's a great treasure trove of stories. We're going to hear more from Cosmo over the coming weeks, I think.
Fantastic. I hope we hear about the Rampaging Celebrity. That's one of my favourites.
I might have the Rampaging Celebrity. And then we're going to have to make the very real decision of whether we fully name the Rampaging Celebrity.
Gosh, that would be a real smeg up if we did that. That's true. Yeah.
Have you ever worked with animals on sets or on... stage?
Have I ever worked with animals? Not particularly. No, I'm lucky enough to say no, I haven't. I have many animals as pets and friends, but I have not had the fortune of working with an animal. I've worked with puppets, a puppet rabbit, quite a few times, and different things. But
very difficult. I've heard very difficult.
Yeah, they're well, very French, French as well, so quite Gallic in its approach to things, which was nice. But yeah.
And then I was thinking about animals in films and TV, because, as you know, well, both of our rule is that anybody, any human, can die in anything, but
oh yeah, totally,
not the animals.
No,
stay away from the animals.
Why would they?
What was that? Was it, what was that film that you were watching the other day that you recommended?
I got a Blu-ray of a film. It wasn't, I thought it was Innes Man by Mark Jenkin, which came in, but that's separate. There's an amazing Children's Film Foundation film about a Cornish tin mine and a haunted Cornish tin mine in that. That's awesome. It's a sort of a B-side on his, an extra on his Blu-ray, but it wasn't that one. It was actually a Blu-ray that came in again from the BFI called Tam Lin. And Tam Lin is a sort of folk tale, and it never really had a proper release in the UK. I think it was released in cinema, but not on VHS, if I remember rightly. And I was reading about it online somewhere, and it's a folk horror. I love folk horror. I think it's a really interesting genre. It's a very 70s one with Ian McShane and different people in it. It's kind of curious. And the director, very well-known actor who only made this one film as a director. But there are a number of extras on the disc from the BFI catalogue of short films. And this, because it's set in the borders of Scotland and it's based around the myth of Tam Lin, which is associated with the borders, it's a short film from 1932 called Ower, Hill and Dale, and it follows a shepherd in the border country and the Cheviots between Scotland and England as he does his daily route around looking for problems with the lambs and different things. And it's just a very simple film where they follow him around, and it's just stunning because it's nearly 100 years ago. It's not far off it. And there's this guy doing exactly what shepherds, so many still do, but with quads now, makes it much quicker, much easier. And he's doing it on foot. And there's just such a simple beauty to it. Really, the scenery's gorgeous. The story, we totally empathise with the shepherd and also with the dogs as well. The beautiful, beautiful collie. And the lambs that get stuck, and oh, there's all this really nice humane stuff. And there's a really curious moment when they go to demonstrate putting a lamb in the oven to warm it up, not to cook it for dinner, but just to keep it, you know, when it's been in a stream getting cold. And I was looking at it, I don't think it was filmed inside. I think they had to stage it outside because there's this oven and then there's a sort of sheet behind it. And I reckon, well, the farmhouse maybe was too dark for the film stock that they had or the camera that they had at that time. They wouldn't have reflectors or lights or whatever. And so it's this curious moment which seems to be in daylight against a sheet with a lovely old wooden iron stove in it. And it's gorgeous. And yeah, so it's produced by Grierson, the kind of great Scottish documentary filmmaker, and the director, I forget the name, but it was totally hypnotic. So yeah, we'll put a link in with that to the episode notes. It's called Ower, Hill and Dale, and it's a BFI short that's available to see from 1932, and it's totally free to watch on the BFI player online, which is a wealth of wonders.
So I would be interested to hear about people who've got cinema animals, deliberate or indeed not deliberate cinema animals. I've got a few bits and pieces from my previous lives in cinemas. So currently, people who know Camden Pictures will know that we have a cinema dog. He's Jed, he's my dog, who's blind. So this is the difference between running a town cinema and a rural cinema, is that every year I have to fill in a sheep and goat inventory to tell the council how many sheep or goats I have business, which is disappointingly zero at the moment.
Oh, come on.
But, you know, sometime.
Well, and you had your own pet lamb a couple of years ago, though.
I had the three lambs, but they didn't come. Well, no, actually, that's not true. This was during lockdown, and I was about to say they didn't come to the cinema, but I did bring them to the cinema once because I was coming in once a week during lockdown just to check that everything was, you know, still good and turn the projectors on and run them. And I was bottle feeding. It was just the one lamb at that point, Leo McGarry. And so I brought him down and took him around the cinema. He had a great time, pooed on the carpet.
Don't we all?
yes. In a previous cinema of mine, there was a cinema cat called Josh. This was in New Zealand. And there was one very, very busy school holidays where in this particular cinema, it had two big doors. They had a huge foyer, very high ceilings, huge doors. And summer in New Zealand, we'd have the doors open and sort of all the windows open. And occasionally birds would get in and fly about, and, you know, they'd manage to find their way out every so often. But this one particular school holiday, Josh the cat was cruising about, as he did, and a little bird managed to fly in. And in front of maybe 30 small children waiting to see their film, Josh launched himself into the air, caught the bird, ripped its head off, and just started eating it in front of all these absolutely horrified, you know, parents ushering their children away, screaming. Although it was a sort of fairly rural cinema as well, so you could tell that there were some people who were obviously tourists who, oh my God, and taking their children away. And then you've got the kind of local kids who are like, oh, okay, yeah, no bother. Just carrying on with their lives because, sometimes animals rip each other apart.
I remember years ago working with a school, and they'd spent all that time, several weeks, working with caterpillars and, you know, growing them in those lovely plastic tubes that you get, you know, kind of expanding plastic tubes, and they're putting fruit in and things, and they'd grow into butterflies eventually, and butterflies would eat all the fruit, and oh, it was lovely. And it came to the time to release them. They went out to the back of the school, they opened them up, released these lovely two butterflies, and two swallows went nom nom and had them and flew off. It's like, oh, God. That children is life.
I've never had any infestations in my own cinemas. We have an excellent maintenance pest control man, Kintyre Pest and Vermin Control, if you're in the area. So we've never had any infestations. But I have been sitting in a cinema in New York and had rats running over my feet, I wasn't mad at because I quite like rodents, but also it wasn't ideal. You just sat out.
Vermin?
Yeah, just out the corner of my eye, saw something moving, and then this little guy looking for popcorn, absolutely no fear. If anyone would like to put forward any animal-based stories, not necessarily bad ones, nice ones as well, that would be grand. I'd love to hear stories about cinema dogs, particularly cinema cats. I just want to see pictures of people's dogs, I think. Emails.
Yes, emails.
We're going to go back to Cosmo for a couple more stories. Cosmo says, this one isn't theatre, but a BBC local radio one. Phone-in swap shop type section. Mrs. McBugle of Clutie Street has a rolling pin she'd like to swap for a footstool, that kind of thing. Smashy and nicey type, old school presenters, obviously just reading out what's on the cards, texts, messages he's getting.
Oh no.
And he reads out, all right, here's a new one. Mrs. Smith has a lovely pair of beef curtains available to anyone who wants them. And then he says, beef curtains. What does that beef? What does that mean? Is that a colour? A type of fabric, maybe? His sidekick joins in. Oh, I don't know. Is it a designer? Beef curtains. I don't know what that is. Well, that sounds marvellous. If anyone would like a lovely pair of but cut off mid-sentence with an Elton John song.
Oh dear. that's why you should do phone-ins. They're the best.
Yes.
Let's get 5-star on. Wonderful.
And Cosmo's next offering. Of course, the incontinent audience member. She sets the scene. I'm front of house manager in the office with the director of the show. Quite a posh, old school, artistic sort. Nice man. An usher appears. Something's happened, they say. The usher is not a posh artistic sort. Somebody shit themselves. The director draws himself up to full height, flares his nostrils and says, "Somebody shit themselves during my show." Like it was not possible that a poor unfortunate soul could not control their bowels during this amazing contribution to the theatrical world. Shit themselves was an understatement. Not only had they voided what looked like several months' worth of the contents of their stomach from the middle of the row where they'd sat, up the stairs to the auditorium exit and down the stairs to the ground floor, they had kindly... Oh, I hate this phrase. Sorry, Cosmo. They had kindly curled out a final turd, which was holding open the fire door. The volume and density of a turd that could hold open those fire doors, they're designed to big. They've got some sort of solid spring action on them. They're kindly curled out one final turd, which is holding open the fire door. We had to replace the programs of everybody sitting on the same row. The show went on, though.
Wow. You can't stop theatre. Oh, my God. That's horrendous. That poor, poor person. That's the internal hemorrhaging with poo.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You'd be absolutely mortified.
Oh, God. Imagine is that one that's like, I think I'll have a wee fart. Just sneak one out. Oh, God. And it just doesn't stop.
And it just continues going and going and going.
It's the gush gone wrong. It's just not good.
I think on that note, shall we wind down?
I think that's fantastic. So if you want to send us any stories, they don't have to necessarily be about poo. And we can be reached on downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and we'll catch you again soon. ¶¶